Well, as we get ready for today, and we go and reflect on the Easter message this morning, remain standing with me as we go to John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1 through 3. John 21, beginning at verse 1 through 3. The Word of God says, after these things, everyone say that with me, after these things, it's important you learn this. After these things, Jesus manifested. That word manifest means He showed up. So Jesus shows up again to the disciples at the Sea of the Tiberias. And He manifested. He showed up. He showed Himself in this way. Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Amen. I am going fishing. They said to Him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Reminds me of Jay and Danny. They caught nothing. The title of today's sermon, put it up there, Gabby. I want them to see it before I say it. More to the story. There's more to the story. Not only is there more to the story of Easter, but I want someone to hear this morning. There's more to your story. God's not done with you yet. Let's pray. Father, bless this word. In Jesus' name. Help me preach, Holy Spirit, I ask. Help us to listen. As we remember and celebrate your resurrection, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated as we go into this message, more than a story. You know, I told my wife this morning, today is Super Bowl Sunday. She said, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, for pastors. Easter morning is Super Bowl Sunday. It's the biggest service of the year. And the sad thing is that one of the worst things that can happen to a pastor, if you would ask a pastor, what's your biggest fear? What's your biggest fear as a pastor? Every pastor, I promise you, would tell you this. Forgetting my sermon notes on Easter Sunday. Guess what happened to your pastor today? Exactly. And thank God for Maria and Kevin. They got me, they printed my sermon, they brought it out. But I have this thing where I preach through colors, through color coordination. And my colors tell me what the subject is and what it is. So I'm trying my best to see what it is that the Lord put in my heart. But here's what I'm reminded of on Easter, just because of this experience. The devil doesn't quit. He just doesn't quit. And this is exactly what I want to tell you this morning on Easter. You see, we have this pressure as pastors to go and preach on the story that everyone knows the ending. He died, he rose. We have to come up with some way to come up with this elaborate message so that you guys can say, wow, that was a great Easter sermon. Or the worst thing is you can say, they have heard it before, no big deal. But as I'm reading this story, I realize that we often talk about the death of Jesus Christ on Friday. We definitely talk about His resurrection on Sunday, but rarely do we take the time on an Easter weekend to really think about what happened after Easter. Because I want to tell you this morning, there is more to the story. We don't think about what happened after Easter. You might be, well, Pastor, what happened after Easter? Well, John 21, to serve the message we just read in Scripture. It says that the disciples, after these things, say that with me, after these things. You see, after Easter, we see that the disciples are in the boat. The disciples are waiting for Jesus. The disciples don't know what's next. The disciples are afraid. The disciples are feeling guilty because they've turned their backs on Jesus. The disciples are under so much pressure after Easter as what's going to happen to their life, their future, everything they gave up for Jesus. The disciples are in a place where they just don't know what's next. They don't know what's going to happen. You see, I believe the devil didn't quit. Because the Bible actually has a prophecy about Easter in Genesis. The Bible says that God told the devil after man fell and committed sin, the Bible said to that devil, God said to that devil, you will bruise his heel and he will crush your head. And he's talking about Easter. He's saying, devil, you're going to bruise Jesus. You're going to crucify him on that cross. He's going to suffer and he's going to die. And that's a bruise compared to what he's going to do to you. And then the Bible says he's going to crush your head. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about that when Jesus died and rise, that sin will be paid for. Victory will be ours. And that devil will be defeated and thrown into the lake of fire when Christ returns. Give them praise and honor in the house. So here's the thing about the devil. He doesn't quit. He knows it's over. He knows there's no hope for him. He knows he's not going to rule. He's not going to win. But the devil has two objectives. Number one, the devil wants to take down as many people as he can with. And number two, the devil wants to stop the work of God from happening in your life. And the devil's not going to stop just because he lost. The devil's not going to quit just because Jesus died and rose. The devil's going to show up. And he's going to try to stop the work of God from happening in your life. The devil reminds me of our beloved Miami Dolphins. Whenever the Dolphins show up to a game up north or in the Midwest in snow, I don't care how big of a Dolphin fan you are, you know they're not going to win. You know it's over. You're like, that's not true. This is our year. All I got to say is Buffalo Bills and we all fall into sadness. Because we know that when the Dolphins stepped up to play the Buffalo Bills on a snowy, the coldest day in Buffalo's history, there they come, these subtropical buff men, to play football. And they look like this and they're shivering. And no one in Miami said, we got this. The devil is like that. The devil knows he lost. The devil knows the game is over. The devil knows there's no chance. But I'm still going to show up like the Dolphins do, and I'm still going to play, and we're still going to try to score some extra points here. You see, the devil knows this Easter. He's reminded that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He's reminded that he rose. He's reminded that through Jesus, we now have the gift of eternal life. And just because the devil knows it's over, he's still going to show up. He's still going to show up to try to stop you. He's going to show up to discourage you. He's going to show up to try to put an end to what God is doing in your life. And that's what we see happening after Easter. The disciples, the men of God, are in this boat, sad, discouraged, afraid, feeling guilty. I know the devil was behind that. But John tells us that Jesus showed up again. Jesus showed up again. On that seashore, Jesus stood there, risen. And he showed up again. That word show or manifest is the word phaneto in the Greek, which was the original language the New Testament was written in. It means to show and make something clear and known. Something that was hidden and gone. In other words, it's to show something that you thought was gone or was hidden from your sight. You see, as a kid, I remember this on rainy days. Mom, do you remember when you used to take us out in the rain to play? She would take me and my brothers out, and we would play in the rain. And there was this particular game I'll never forget. My mother would sit on the floor, and she would grab a sheet, a bed sheet. And she would cover herself where we couldn't see her anymore. But then all of a sudden, my mom would pop out of this blanket, and we'd go, ah, ah, and we would laugh and have so much fun. And she would cover herself again, and we couldn't see her until she showed up again, and she popped up. See, when the Bible says that Jesus showed up again, the Bible says that he popped up and revealed that he was still alive. He showed up. And when I read this in the story of Easter, I realized that sometimes it feels like God is gone. Sometimes it feels like the Lord is hidden. Come on, church, does it ever feel like God is nowhere in sight? You don't know what's going to happen. Well, that's what the disciples felt. Thank God that this one phrase grabbed my heart this Easter. He showed up again. I believe today, with all my heart, you're here, you're listening online. Some of you just want God to show up again in your life. Amen. You say, Lord, I just want you to show yourself like you used to. I just want you to show up in this situation I'm in. I want you to show up. And what I love about this passage is that when the devil shows up in your life, rest assured that Jesus is about to show up after. And Jesus shows up again. And the Bible says in verse 1, read this. In verse 1, the Bible says, after these things. After these things. What things is the Bible talking about? The Bible is talking about after Easter. After these things. After Friday. When Jesus was on the cross, dying for our sins. After Saturday. When God was silent and wasn't showing them anything. After Sunday, when Jesus rode and Mary saw the empty tomb and told her his disciples. Even after Sunday night, that Jesus revealed himself to those disciples in the upper room that he had risen. Even after he showed Thomas the wound on his body. Even after he broke through the closed doors and showed up to his disciples and said, I am risen. Even after those things. The Bible says that those disciples were still doubting. Those disciples were still afraid. Those disciples were still uncertain of their life. So after Easter, you see the disciples sitting on a boat, knowing that Jesus had risen, knowing that he was alive, knowing that he conquered death, knowing that he defeated the enemy, knowing that what Jesus prophesied came about, knowing he was alive. The disciples were waiting on a boat. The devil made his way through their minds. He said, yeah, he's alive. Yeah, he's risen. Yes, he's God. Yes, I'm defeated. But Peter, do you think he can use you? You denied Jesus 3 times, Peter. Do you think he can forgive you? Thomas, you doubted him. You think Jesus can actually use you after you doubted? All of you are failures. All of you are losers. All of you have done the worst thing ever. All of you. Jesus cannot love you anymore. Jesus can't forgive you anymore. Jesus can't use you in the ministry anymore. It's over. You might as well quit. You might as well give up. You might as well just go back to your old life because God is done with you. He needs to find better disciples. You call yourself a Christian? There's no way you're a Christian. Look at what you did. And they're on this boat after Easter, discouraged, afraid, guilty, condemned. And Peter said, "That's it. I'm going fishing." See, when Peter used the word, "I'm going," the word "going" in the Greek is the word "hupago." It literally means to withdraw. It means to retire. It's actually a word used in war. It means to fall back and retreat. You see, Peter wasn't just saying, "Hey guys, while we wait for Jesus, why don't we go fishing and kill some time?" But Peter is literally telling these guys, "Listen, guys, it's over. The battle has been lost. We can never be used by God. We can never be forgiven. We can never be restored. We're done. Jesus is done with us. I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to my old ways. I'm going to give up on Jesus. I'm going to give up on ministry. I'm going to give up on everything the Lord has for me because it's over. I'm in this battle and I've lost. I'm going to retire. I surrender, devil. You win." And all these other disciples said, "We're going to. We're done. We quit." And here's my greatest fear this Easter: that those men of God knew he had died. They knew he rose again. They knew and celebrated that he had risen, but yet they quit and went back to their old life. My greatest fear this Easter, that many people are going to come to church. They're going to know that Jesus is alive. They're going to celebrate the risen Savior. They're going to sing songs and hear sermons of the victory that Jesus had on the cross and he rose again from the tomb. And we're all going to acknowledge that he's a risen Lord just like the disciples did. But my greatest fear is that after Easter is over, the devil is going to have you going back. Going back to old sin. Going back to old ways. Peter said, "I'm going back fishing," but it was only in the book of Matthew that Jesus called them out of the fishing business. Jesus called them out of that old life. You see, I'm afraid that even though the devil knows that he's defeated, and the devil knows that he's lost, and the devil knows that Jesus is alive and well and risen, I'm afraid that the devil somehow is going to get in your mind and convince you that you can never be loved, you can never be forgiven, that God is done with you. It's over. And I know the devil is telling you this because as I'm preaching, the devil is bringing me down right now. You know what the devil is telling me? They're not listening to you. You better stop preaching. They're not going to change. You should quit the ministry. So thank you, devil, for reminding me that you're trying to stop something good. The devil is trying to get in your heads and say, "Just go back. Go back to old ways. Go back to your old life. Stop coming to church. You're never going to change. And that's why Peter would write to the church, be sober-minded. Because the devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. See, Peter of all people knew there was a devil after Easter trying to get in the minds of the people that they should just fall back, withdraw, quit, give up, and just go back to your old life. Go back to your old sin. Go back to the very place God called you out of. Go back to that relationship He spared you from and saved you from. Go back to that bondage the Lord set you free from. Just go back, because the devil wants you this Easter. The devil wants to just bring condemnation and guilt and the feeling of unworthiness. See, after Easter, that's exactly what he did to these disciples. Look at verse 2 with me. The Bible mentions them by name on that boat. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, John and James, and two others. Why did the Bible mention after Easter the disciples by name on that boat? Because I believe that the Lord is letting us know the same way the disciples after Easter knew He had risen, knew that He was Lord, knew that He was alive. These same men were discouraged, under pressure, feeling guilty and worthless. And God is letting us know we're all in that same boat, amen. He said Peter was there. Peter was the one that gave everything for Jesus. Maybe you remember a time you gave it all to Jesus. Peter was the one that stood in front of all his disciples and in front of Jesus and said, Lord, I will never leave you. I will never, never abandon you. Peter denied Jesus not only once, not only twice, but three times. The very thing that Peter said he'd never do, he did multiple times. Maybe that's the boat you're in today. Maybe the devil tries to stop you this Easter because he's reminding you of your guilt. He's reminding you of the things you did that you said I'd never do. He's reminding you of the choices you've made. The shame that you carry. He's going to remind you of the people you've hurt. He's going to remind you of the abortion you had. He's going to remind you how you turned your back on the Lord. He's going to remind you of the people you fornicated with. He's going to remind you of the pornography site you saw. He's going to remind you of all the sins you've committed. And some of you are on that boat with Peter. And the devil's trying to stop you this Easter because he knows there's more to your story. And I hear the crying. I hear the sniffle. Because it's a reminder right now of the sins you've committed. And the devil tells you you can never be forgiven. Maybe you're on that boat with Thomas. It was after Easter that Thomas doubted. And Thomas is on that boat and he's doubting. And he's, I can't believe I doubted the Lord. And some of you can relate. That you know He's God, you know He's alive, you know He's risen, but right now you're doubting the goodness of God. You're doubting whether the Bible can be real for you personally. You're doubting whether God can truly save you from your problems. Can God really do this for you? And you're doubting the very Word of God. Can God really heal me? Can God really restore me? Can God really get me out of this? Does God really love me? Can God really forgive me? And you might be like Thomas in the same boat, doubting this Easter. That Easter, the Bible mentions Nathanael. I call him no good name. Why? Because he's the disciple that when they told him about Jesus, the first thing he said was, Nazareth, he's from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? See, Nathanael represents those with a critical mindset and spirit that truly believe nothing good ever comes out of their life. Nothing good is going to happen to me. I know that God is good, but that goodness is never going to pass on to me. My life is always going to be miserable. My life is always going to be difficult. My life is always going to be hard. And nothing good is going to come out of my future. Nothing good is going to come out of my situation. And Nathanael's on that boat, negative and critical. And maybe he's telling his disciples, you see, I told you, nothing good is going to come out of this. Maybe you're in the same boat as John. That Easter. John was loyal to Jesus on the cross. But John was also known as the Sons of Thunder. John had a temper and an anger problem. And I believe with all my heart, John is on that boat angry at himself. Angry at life. Angry at the devil. Angry at everyone that's hurt him. Everyone that's hurt Jesus. I'm just so angry and I can't stand this anymore. I believe John is on that boat banging things and breaking things. And he's so angry. I can't stand this. What's going to happen? Why did they do that to Jesus? And he's burning with anger because that's who he was. Church, are we all in that same boat today? That's what happened Easter. These men are on the boat. And the devil is telling them it's over. Just go back. Quit. But Jesus showed up. Come on. Jesus showed up. Say that with me. Jesus showed up. Because Easter will always be a reminder to us that the devil might win on Friday, but Sunday victory is ours. And you might be in that boat right now, guilty over your sins, doubting for your future, thinking nothing good's going to come out, and you're angry at God, you're angry at yourself, you're angry at life. But isn't it amazing that Jesus is standing at the shore, looking at these men, looking at them guilty and condemned and doubting and angry and just living miserable, and he's there saying, look at them. And he showed up. Come on, if you're Peter and you've made the worst mistakes of your life and sin, believe me today, Jesus will show up and forgive you. If you're doubting like Thomas, he will show up and prove you wrong. Jesus wasn't mad that he doubted. Jesus said, you want to touch my wounds? You want to see it? Why? Because the Lord loves to prove our doubt wrong. He showed up again. Because Easter is a reminder. Not only he had risen, but he showed up. Maybe I'm preaching to myself, and maybe I'm preaching to you, but I just want the Lord to show up again. I just want God to just show up and say, David, it's going to be okay. I just want him to show up and say, the devil's just talking. But your story's not over. Let him talk. See, because after Easter, Jesus ascended unto heaven, and Revelation says he's coming back and he's showing up again. But this time it's to defeat the enemy and cast him to eternal lake of fire. Some of you are here this morning saying, Pastor, I just want the Lord to show up again. Because I'm in that boat. We're all sinners, amen? Come on, we're all sinners, amen? We're all failures. You're not the only one in the boat, people. We're all failures. We're all guilty. We've all committed sins we don't want to think about anymore. None of us can undo the past. We've made choices we regret. Many feel unworthy. You can't take back the things you've done. You can't change back the ways you've lived. But here's the problem. When you let the devil on Easter just yap in your ear about your sin and your past and your failures and how terrible you are and how he'll never use you or love you or forgive you, every time you bring to mind the acknowledgement of condemnation, you are not only reminding yourself of what you did, you are forgetting what Jesus did. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again, defeating sin once and for all. And every time you're there in your boat, telling yourself you're worthless, you're saying God is worthless. Every time you're there saying nothing good's going to happen, you're saying God is not good. Every time you're saying I'm a failure, you're saying Jesus, you're a failure. Why? Because when you show and tell yourself what you did, you are failing and forgetting what Jesus did. Let me remind you what Jesus did for you. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. Come on, help me preach. Say it with me. For all have sinned. All, everybody. Even that nice little grandma you got is wicked. All have sinned. All of us. Even your pastor. We've all seen. We're all in that boat. We've all fallen short of God's glory. That word short, it means to be unable to pay a debt. We've fallen short. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So let me explain to you what Jesus did. We've all sinned, amen? So all of us are condemned. All of us could not pay for our sins because we are void. We're in debt to God. Romans 5:8. But God, don't you love when the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love. That while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Come on, give him praise today. Christ died because only Jesus, not Gandhi, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not a priest, not nobody, only Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life. And while we were sinners, not after, get it out of your system, let me clean myself up and go to Jesus. No, God says while you're a sinner, while you're at your worst, while you are a sinner, he died for you. For me. And on that cross, this Easter, we remember Jesus on that cross. And he said these magical, powerful words. It is, come on, church, finished. Finished. Why did Jesus say that? The word finished there in the Bible is a banking term that literally means when your debt has been paid. It means you are no longer required to pay. It's finished. It's been paid for. It's over. It's done with. So Jesus saw the debt that we were in our sin. He knew we were short. There's no way we could never pay it. And Jesus says, I can pay it. And I'll come down to earth and I will love these people and die for them. And when he died a sinless, perfect life, he said, it's finished. It's paid for. We owe God nothing. Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. It's finished. Can you imagine? You come to me one morning after church and say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. The pastor, I need some help financially. I can't make it anymore. I said, okay, let's see what we can do. How much is your debt? And you say $1 billion with a B, a billion. Not only am I going to laugh at your face, I'm going to tell you, you and I, nobody in this church can pay that debt. I'm sorry, it's over. You're going to take your house away. You can't pay it. You've come short. But then you go to your mailbox a week later. You open up that mailbox. And there's a letter there that says your debt has been finished. Paid for. You owe nothing. You would run to me and say, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. My debt is gone. It's been buried. It's over. And I sit there and I'm not even surprised. Not even shocked. But Pastor, why aren't you surprised? I said, oh, I didn't tell you. I was praying this week for your dad. The craziest thing happened. Elon Musk subscribed to our YouTube channel. He got born again and saved. He called our church office and said, Pastor, I just love your church. I love you, Pastor, too. You're the most handsome pastor I've ever seen on YouTube. And Pastor, to show my appreciation for what you've done in this man, I just want to pay the debt of anyone in your church, no matter what it is. I can do it. And I say, well, there is this one person that has $1 billion. And Elon says, ha, come on, I eat that for breakfast. I can do that. So he comes and he paid your debt. So I don't owe him anything. No, you can never owe him. It's over. He did it. That's what Jesus said to you. I paid what you couldn't pay. Because I have what you don't have. Sinless perfection. How crazy would it be if you would reject that debt payment and say, no, 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 Mr. Musk, I thank you, but I think I'm going to try to do this on my own. I think if I work hard enough and get overtime and work weekends and save my money and eat ramen noodles, I think that maybe in 1.2 million years, I can pay that debt. I would say you're crazy. But that's how crazy it is. When Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, it is for by grace that you've been saved. Through faith. Not of yourself. But it is what? A gift from God. Not as a result of, say it with me church, works. So that no one. You see, whenever you remind yourself how sinless and dirty and ungodly and worthless you are forgetting that every time you think about what you did, you forget about what Jesus did. He died and paid for those sins that keep you up. He died for you. Nothing you can do or say can save you because Jesus already did. Verse 4 through 7, the Bible says, "But when the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet his disciples didn't even know it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children,'" don't you love when God calls you a child? We act like it. He says, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." It's the worst thing a fisherman can say when they ask, "Hey, caught anything?" They're like, "No." It's shameful. And he said to them, "Cast your net on the right hand of the side of the boat and you'll find a catch." So they cast and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." This is right after Easter. He shows up and he says, "Peter, stop fishing, Peter. Look at the shore. It's Jesus." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garments on and he was stripped from work and threw himself into the sea. See, when Jesus showed up again and was resurrected on Easter, John tells Peter, "Peter, look, it's Jesus." And Peter already knows, Jesus is not here to condemn me. Jesus isn't here to abandon me. Jesus isn't here to reject me. Jesus is here and he has shown up again to bring me back and finish what he started in my life. And Peter understood that his story wasn't over because the story of Easter wasn't over just on the resurrection. The story of Easter continued with Jesus showing up again to disciples who were failures, disciples who made terrible mistakes, disciples who were discouraged, lonely, and afraid. And he showed up again to say, "I'm here and I'm not done with you." Give him praise today in the house. "I'm not done with you." And Peter just jumps over. Let me close with this. After Easter, the disciples knew that Jesus had risen. They knew that it was finished. But these disciples felt like even though Jesus died and rose and sin was paid for, Jesus could never use them again. Jesus could never love them again. Jesus could never forgive them again. So when the Bible says, "I showed up again," he is letting the disciples know that Easter is a reminder that your sins have been paid for. And because I died on the cross and rose and paid for your debt, you now can continue the work that I started in your life. And Peter knew, he's not done with it. The boat didn't even get to shore and Peter abandoned ship and left everything. The Bible says he threw himself. The word "throw" in the Greek is the word "balo," where we get the word "ball" from. So the ball's in his hand. Peter has a choice to make. Am I going to just stay in this boat? Am I going to let the devil just whisper into my ears? Am I just going to let myself live in condemnation and guilt and be a failure and remind myself of my sins and feel hopelessly lost and abandoned by God? Am I just going to live depressed and discouraged like nothing's ever going to happen and change? Am I just going to stay here and let the devil rule my life, even though I know there's a risen Savior, even though I know the story of Easter? Am I going to stay in this boat condemned in the shame, or am I going to just throw myself into the hands of the Lord, who's going to use me again and love me again and forgive me again, because He showed up again. He showed up because He's letting us know the story of Easter. He'll show up. So many of you here today are saying, "Pastor, I just want the Lord to show up in my life." Can I tell you today, if you are at your worst, sometimes we feel like we're at our worst in life, our worst emotionally, our worst mentally, our worst physically. We're at our worst. Can I tell you right now, if you would ask any of those disciples when you're in heaven, or if you're in heaven, if you would ask any of those disciples, when were you at your worst while following Jesus, you know what they would tell you? After Easter. Because I know He died and I know He rose. I saw it with my own eyes, Peter would say. But after Easter, I was on that boat, scared for my life, guilty of my past, discouraged for my future. I was at my worst because I went back to sin the Lord delivered me from. I was at my worst because I quit. I quit the ministry. I abandoned the dreams I had. Everything the Lord wanted to do in my life, I said, "Nah, I can't. He can't do that anymore." And I quit. Peter would say, if you want to know when I'm at my worst, it was that day after Easter in that boat. You would say, "Peter, what happened?" "I don't know. But after Easter, the devil was just telling me, go back. And for a moment, I did. And I listened. And I went back to that boat." But then John, I was just on my boat. I'll never forget it. Peter would say, "I was on my boat and I was casting these nets, and all night long I was coming back empty, and I was saying, 'God, I can't even do this right anymore.' And I was scared for my future, and I was scared for my life, and I was discouraged, and I thought God can never use me anymore, and I was failing, and I was miserable, and I felt like I was the worst Christian ever. And after Easter, we should have been happier, guys. We should have been celebrating, guys. We should have been living in victory, but we were on this stupid boat, feeling like failures. But Peter, what happened?" I said, "I don't know. I was casting my net, and like usual, it was empty. And then behind me, John said, 'Peter, it's Jesus. He showed up again. Look, He's right there.' And I looked at John, and he showed up again? What do you mean he showed up? He showed up after I denied Him 3 times. He showed up after I quit the ministry. He showed up after I lied and cursed in front of people. He showed up after I was the worst testimony of a Christian. He showed up, John. Are you out of your mind? Peter, look, He's there." And Peter just looks. And he drops the net, and he takes off his garments, and he jumps over. He said, "Peter, why did you jump?" "Because I don't know why I jumped. I just knew that Jesus was standing there, and He was standing there for me. He was standing there and showing up to tell me that He wasn't done with me yet. He was there telling me that Easter is about Him dying and rising for my sin, so I didn't have to stay on this boat. I could have jumped ship a long time ago. Church, He showed up again. The crazy thing of Easter is in verse 9. But when they got to land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it with bread. Why does the Bible say this story about Easter? We don't preach this on Easter. But on that Easter, after Easter, if you ever want to know, what did Jesus do after He rose? Let me tell you what He did. He made breakfast. And He had fish already there. Why is it so significant? Church, what was Peter doing all night? Church, what was Peter doing all night? Fishing. Did Peter catch fish? Not at all. Casting the net. Should have tied it. Retrieving the net. Back and forth, all night. Nothing. Peter was looking for fish and coming up empty. But when he got to shore, he saw that Jesus already had fish. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is letting the disciples know what you need to know today. Everything you're looking for and coming up empty is only found in Jesus. He had it already. So while you're tired and exhausted and coming back empty, Jesus looks there and says, I already have what you're looking for. Some of you are just searching for love. Maybe this guy will do. Maybe this girl will do. And you're coming back empty and empty, going on dates, swiping left and right, getting your heart broken time and time, tired. And why? Because you're searching for love. But all this time, God is love. You're looking for acceptance in the wrong places. You're looking to it towards friends and relationships and boyfriends and girlfriends and colleagues. And Jesus says, I already have what you're looking for. Are you tired of coming back empty? Love is here. You're searching for purpose, coming back empty. Maybe if I work hard enough, maybe if I get the raise, I get the house, I get the car, I fly the plane, I do this, I do that, maybe people will know I'm valuable and I have purpose, but you're coming back empty because you get everything you've ever wanted, but you realize you still have an empty net. Why? Because the purpose you're looking for is found only in Jesus Christ, who died to give you purpose. And you're searching for peace. Coming back empty. I'll have peace once I'm married. I'll have peace once I have kids. I'll have peace once I retire. I'll have peace once my debt's paid off. I'll have peace once I have this. And you realize you have it and have nothing. But after that story of Easter, Peter realized three things. Church, you ready? Stand to your feet. I'll close in three things. Peter realized three things. One, he wasted his time on the devil. He let the devil rob him of joy, rob him of peace, rob him and blind him to what Jesus did. And he wasted his time living in guilt and shame and condemnation when Jesus Christ already paid for that sin you're ashamed of. And when he got to shore, he realized that Easter, he wasted his time searching for things only Jesus has. And maybe you're here this season, you're searching for purpose, you're searching for peace, you're searching for meaning, you're searching for love, but you're searching in all the wrong places and you're coming up empty. That's why he and she didn't work out and you came back empty. That's why you had the job, you had the money, but you're still miserable. That's why the alcohol and the drugs didn't work, because you come back empty, because what you are looking for is only found in Jesus. Give him praise in the house today. It's only found in Jesus. And the third thing Peter realized was there was more to the story. Because after Easter comes the book of Acts, where Peter and those disciples that were on that boat, ashamed and discouraged, the devil was telling them it's over, it's hopeless. So they're the same disciples that started the church. Are you thankful for the church? That saw the Holy Spirit come down like fire. So they're the same disciples that reached thousands upon thousands. Peter would preach one sermon and reach 2,000 people. I don't think I could ever do that in my lifetime. But he preached one sermon and 2,000 fell on their knees for Jesus. You see, what I'm telling you today is the gospel reminds us that we're failures. And we can't bring anything to the table. That's why they had no fish. Because they were, Jesus was letting us know, you can bring nothing to my table. Because my table's already been set, baby. My table has already been set. I died and rose again for your sake. And Peter and all those disciples realized that Easter, the story wasn't over. There was more to it. But church, I want anyone here this morning who's on that boat right now, that you feel ashamed, you feel like you can't come back to the Lord, you feel like you're hopelessly lost and abandoned, you feel like the search is coming up empty, the devil just has you, the devil's just destroying you with your mindset, and you feel like it's over and hopeless. Stop reminding yourself of what you did and renew your mind and remember what Jesus did. Amen. He died on the cross for your sins. We all come up short from his glory. We can never earn salvation, but Jesus died on the cross to pay for those sins. So with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life today, the ball's in your hand. You can throw yourself at the mercies of Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. And I believe you died and rose again. I believe that you are the only way to salvation. I believe my sins have been paid for by your blood and sacrifice. And right now, today, you can ask the Lord not only to forgive you, but to save you. Or you can leave this church today and say, no, I think I'll try to pay off the debt I can never pay off. It's your choice, like Peter did, to jump ship. So can you. If that's you today, would you put your hand up and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today. God bless you. See your hand. God bless you. You there, you there, you there. All of you there. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I know I'm a born-again believer. I know that I'm saved. But I know, Lord, that the devil has me condemned, ashamed, feeling worthless, defeated, afraid. But Pastor, today I'm reminded that the devil is just trying to score more points until the game is over. And he's trying to bring me down, trying to stop the work of God. And the devil has me right now on this boat, feeling all types of crazy. But today is a reminder that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside you, church. And God will show up again, You wait and see. That's you saying, Pastor, this is me. The devil just has me crazy. Would you put your hand up? God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand all across your room today. Let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for the gift of your salvation from your Son Jesus on the cross. And I pray right now that you would open up the hearts of the people this Easter week to realize that when we focus on what we did, we forget about what you did. And Father, your death on the cross and resurrection is a reminder to us that you will show up again in our lives. You will freely forgive, freely love, and our story is not over. And if you were one of those today that raised your hand to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're listening online, I want you to pray this with me from your heart today. To say, Lord Jesus, I confess and agree. I'm a sinner. Just tell him right now, I'm a sinner, Lord, I know. And I've come short. But I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And it was your sin. Father, it's my sin that's displayed before you. So you say, Lord Jesus, I know you paid on the cross my debt. I believe you rose again today. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you, Lord, to save me as only you can. And like Peter, today I throw myself to you in surrender. In Jesus' name. And Father, I now pray for those who are on that boat. But the devil has them thinking all types of crazy ways. For those that feel defeated and hopeless and gone. That after Easter is said and done, they're going to be tempted to quit, to give up, be discouraged, and lose heart. But Father, you showed up on that shoreline to those men who love you and serve you. And I pray today, Lord, whoever he or she is that loves you and serves you, but is going through a time with the devil, I pray that you will give them the strength and that you will show up in a way in their life that will cause them to be lifted up and experience the power of your grace and your Holy Spirit, Father. I pray, Lord, in your name and only in your name, that you would revive the hearts of those that are downcast and discouraged and hopeless, Lord. For those who feel like their story is over and that is it, I pray that today was a reminder that you are not finished, that he who began a good work in us will finish it to completion. In the name of Jesus. And God's church said, amen. Come on, give him praise and honor in the house of God today. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, give him real praise today. He's alive. He showed up again into your life. And it is not over today. In Jesus' name. Come on, you guys can have a seat as we continue this Easter service. I hope that you guys were blessed by this message on this Easter Super Bowl Sunday. Amen.